he's Thailand.
You know, Judge?
Yes, sir.
You know, that's why come you, from my perspective, you head and shoulders of the rest of those other candidates. Those other candidates have no inkling about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. And that is a terrible thing. You know, you and I had a discussion some time ago about treaties and treaties being supreme. Well, you know you were right, because they carry the same leverage as a constitutional act. But the thing is now, they have done away with treaties, especially with the Native Americans, and they went to create an act. I think the Congress done that in 1930 or so. But it's a shame how the city of Memphis and those that's responsible would exchange somebody's picture and place it on your name on campaign advertising. That is totally deceitful. And I want to say one thing. When people are learning to vote, I heard someone mention earlier, it's not for you to ask the candidate what it is that they're going to do. It's for you, the voter, the constituent, to tell the candidate what it is that you want to have done. And therefore, it requires a lot more educational wherewithal on the issues. I'll pass the mic.
You guys are so quiet today. Are we going to end right? What's happening here? I see Victor's in the house.
I was gone, but I had myself muted because you told me to do it, and I started to talk to talk on it. I got myself muted again, but now I ain't. So I'd like to, Judge, a couple of weeks ago I brought to your attention the historical reality of the 13th Waffen SS Galatia Division, remember? And you said that you'd want to look into it. I find it ironic. Supremely ironic and very edifying to see that the Speaker of the House of the Canadian Parliament was forced to resign after he engineered a standing ovation for a former member of the 14th Waffen SS Galatia Division. And these are the very same people who are so quick to call other people Nazis. And here they have a man who, by some coincidence, he wasn't a Nazi, was allied with them, wore their uniform, and fought with the Nazis, giving him a standing ovation in Parliament. I just wondered if you dare to comment on that.
Well, that seems to be widespread. You know, if you get the other side's propaganda about what's going on with Ukraine, the rest of the world is hearing that the struggle is against resurgent Nazism. It's against the spread of the rainbow cult, and also to do something about the rampant sex slavery that exists in Ukraine. We don't hear that. And they're giving away $224 million a day to Ukraine. And what are they doing to the people here in the United States in terms of taking care of needs for veterans here, for infrastructure here, for the educational system here, or for that matter, if it comes to it, reparations? Now, I've got an interesting little tidbit. I found out who is chairing the Reparations Committee for the Black Caucus. The individual is the congressman for the 9th District here in Memphis. His name is Steve Cohen. He's been in for 19 years. His preeminent piece of legislation is a binding resolution saying that nothing but paper straws can be used in the congressional cafeteria. He's white and he's Jewish. And that's for a 92% black congressional district. He got in because there were 14 people in the Democratic primary, plus him, 19 years ago. He got in, and we've had notoriously hacked voting machines, so he's been in ever since. and he has yet to come up with a single piece of legislation or act that has benefited the constituents he's supposed to be representing. But that's interesting. Not saying it's bad just because he's white, but the idea that that's who they'd put over a reparations committee, when I have been telling people, hey, if you want to know why you're not getting anywhere, you need to talk to your black caucus in Congress and see why nothing's being done. And I just looked, they had a reparations committee, and then I was fascinated to discover who was the chair of that reparations committee. This is not the one for Congress generally. This is for the black caucus. I find that interesting because I've known the man for a little more than 40 years. He's not exactly been somebody that was, shall we say, advantageous for the cause of the black citizens in the 9th District. So, there
well,
you
Judge,
go.
I don't
just
know.
An observation.
I thought the Congressional Black Caucus had a standing rule that no whites are black conservatives, but no whites were to be ever a member of that body.
Well, this one is. It might have to do with the fact that the 9th District has one of the highest percentages of black voters in the country. So maybe that's got to do with it, but I guess they made him an honorary member and he heads up the committee. He's the chairman. Unless they changed in the last couple of weeks. Go ahead.
One other quick thing. Can you comment on this and tell me, is this not a formula for failure? According to the Congressional Office of Budget, OMB, the United States will owe over $2 trillion in interest on its debt, which would be $44 trillion at the rate it's going. The revenue would be about $4.4 trillion. Now, how in the heck can you ever work that out?
Well, honestly, how that developed was interesting. You're not going to. What happened is during the Reagan administration when he came up with what George Herbert Walker Bush famously termed voodoo economics, supply-side economics, which were absolutely ridiculous. And he reduced the tax rates for mega corporations down to where Boeing aircraft was paying less in actual tax dollars, not percentage, but in actual tax dollars than, say, your typical teacher or clerical worker in the country. We had a big shortage. Now, in 1974, Tricky Dick Nixon, and only he could have done it, normalized relations to an extent with the People's Republic of China. So the Reagan administration's solution to the budget crunch was to borrow trillions of dollars from the People's Republic of China. And then that continued under the Bush administration. That continued to an extent under Clinton, but not so much. That continued under George W. Bush and the Obama administration. And now the biggest chunk of that debt you're talking about is owed to the People's Republic of China. And we had a 25-year term period on the first borrowing, and we couldn't pay the interest, let alone anything on the principal. So the solution was to borrow more money. So now the People's Republic of China has a stake in the outcome of owning our behinds because of what we owe them. Now, one thing that you should take into context in terms of this big picture is that essentially the People's Republic of China stabilizes all of the world stock exchanges, including Wall Street. It also stabilizes the American dollar, the Japanese yen, the ruble, and the euro dollar. So they are the entity that is keeping the world's economy stable. And although they do not have internal individual capitalism, as a nation, China engages in a lot of external capitalism and they are the largest sovereign investor in the world. They have more money that they can invest as a governmental entity in a uniform fashion than anybody else. So when you start worrying about the Chinese hacking or doing America in, remember they own so much of America that it would defeat their home purposes. So the question is, who's beholden to who and what's really going on behind the scenes? Now, I'll pass the mic. Bianchi,
I got another question for you, Judge, a legal question at that. Now, a New York State judge is arbitrarily ruled without a trial, no jury, that Trump overvalued his real estate holdings in New York. I guess that means he paid too much in taxes so he could get secure financing and loans. So, now, speaking from the best banks with the greatest lawyers and legal staff that you can imagine, they did their own due diligence in financing him. All the operational loans and the business loans were paid back. There were no defaults or banking at interest that seemed to be adversely impacted. There were no victims of what the state is calling fraud. Yet the judge says the Trump Organization must divest itself of all its business interests in the state of New York and get out within 10 days. I'd just like to hear your opinion on this.
Bullshit.
I thought so.
I'm a judge. It's like somebody coming in front of you and the prosecution saying, this man A wrote this man B a bad check. And the guy that supposedly had the bad check says, wait a minute. I went to the bank, showed my ID, processed, and I got the cash. I didn't get a bad check. But the judge saying, well, he wrote you a bad check because the prosecutor says so. That's bullshit. The so-called victim of the fraud says, we knew what was going on. We understood exactly what he was saying, and it was a very profitable transaction for us. We did not get defrauded. We understood exactly what the terms were and everything else. What the hell do you mean? What are you talking about? So, in other words, if you are familiar with a writer named Orwell, and if you're not, you should be, he wrote a book called 1984 called Doublespeak, and say one thing and mean something else. In other words, you decided that you're going to take down Boss Crump and save America. So you go out and you decide you're going to bring him in, and then you get that brag in there where on the criminal side, he's supposedly saying we want to prosecute Trump because he bribed Stormy Daniels not to embarrass him. Well, if you have to bribe somebody not to embarrass them, you are the victim of a blackmail attempt. That's a felony. So he indicted the victim of a felony for being the victim of a felony. And if it's a legal settlement, then what the devil happens when you have a corporation that says, we can't file a detailed report because it's public record and there is a gag provision that prohibits us from revealing the terms of the settlement. So, in other words, you indict a corporate entity for following the law. Oh, that's great stuff. So, what is this? See, this isn't going to stand on appeal, but they know it's going to take some time. So, in the meanwhile, he's got to deal with the very illegal prosecutions in Georgia, Florida, New York, the civil suit in New York. And all of this is supposed to cripple him so he cannot effectively run for president when it looks like now, even on ABC's own poll, or NBC, I forget which, it looks like Trump is handily beating by 10 percentage points Joe Biden if there was a head up right now. So, in other words, they're going to save the people from themselves by saying you got this incompetent, senile clown that you've got sitting in the White House who's been a zero, a third stringer most of his career. And he's only in the game by default.
All of his career.
All of the rest of the damn all of the rest of the quarterbacks are sidelined with injuries or unavailability. So, yeah, great. This looks like something straight out of the National Socialist Workers Party rule book. And you know what the National Socialist Workers Party is?
Let me ask you one more question in regards to this, with what you just said. Now, would this be a precedent for suing colleges and universities? They overvalue the educational services. They sell them to a buyer. The buyer finds out the services they ain't worth what they were told they were worth. To the point that the services don't prepare them to make enough money to pay back the loans. They pick out the better services. Can we get a judge to shut down and break up most of these colleges and universities on that basis?
Actually, you might be able to. But it's a political question that needs to be resolved, because this is what the problem is. The so-called excuse or the so-called assistance when it came to your student loans had a cutoff point of anyone above $125,000 a year was not entitled to any benefits. Now, here's what's wrong with that. The way it is accounted in the United States, I know this is going to upset a lot of people, but if you make less than $125,000 a year gross as a single person, you are not in the middle class. And anywhere else in the world, getting a four-year college degree is a guarantee that you will be in the middle class. So why are so many Americans possessed of these very expensive undergrad degrees and they don't even make middle-class status? Think about it.
Well, look, Jess, correct me if I'm wrong now, but I remember something about a fraud ruling from the Supreme Court in New York that said that common law fraud claims are based on, number one, a false statement of a material fact that the defendant made while knowing it to be false, and he made it for the purpose of inducing the plaintiff to rely on it, and there was an injury that resulted from it. Now, even if all that is true, why would the outcome of fraud with no injury be to nuke this guy from outer space? Well, you would think the absence of any injury would mitigate the severity of the punishment. I mean, they're telling him he got to dissolve everything and get out of Dodge. I mean, wouldn't a sanction be enough to fit this alleged crime?
Well, here's the problem. You state exactly what the common law is, and that is the general statutory law as well, damn near in every part of America. The problem is, where does your action lie? What state does it lie in? And if you're trying to go after the federal government, the problem is there's sovereign immunity. Did the government allow itself to be sued under the circumstances that attend this particular type of situation? So if you're going to sue these banks, it depends upon where you contract to have the applicable law come from. That's the problem. And you see, you've got 50 states, and you've got a hodgepodge of situations. So it's not necessarily impossible to resolve in a court. The problem is, look, you can't make the middle class income cut off. You are not able to pay your loan back because you're suffering financially. How the hell are you supposed to find the financial resources that allow you to take on this massive lawsuit all by yourself against these entrenched interests that represent, for goodness sakes, thoughts?
I've been informed from Special Service announcement from the moderator, Valerie. She says too much noise, y'all. Okay? Too much background noise, man. That's from Valerie, man. She told me to tell y'all, man. I guess I'm appointed bailiff again, man. Too much damn noise in the background.
Judge, you were talking about that you were having early voting down there in Memphis. And I have a problem myself personally with early voting. And I think it was Jimmy Carter that talked about, I think it was early voting or ballot harvesting or all of the shenanigans that the left is pulling off in this country to win elections. Don't you see that as problematic? I just think that, you know, outside of the fact that you got senior citizens who can't get out of their homes or they have a difficult time leaving home, I think one day to vote. This, you know, we're going to be 3 months, 4 months, 5 months voting for President of the United States or, you know, members of Congress or something like that. That day, I mean, that day is gonna come. I guess I'm being a little bit rhetorical here, but you know, facetious here. But the fact of the matter is, when Election Day comes, that's when everybody needs to go and vote. And hey, if you can't vote on election day, then hey, Mark Snicks, too bad. I've missed days because I was working out of town and I couldn't vote. And, you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. So I think we need to do away with a whole lot of that. We need to do away with the same day, you know, registering the same day to vote. We definitely need to stop giving, these states need to stop giving driver license to illegal aliens, people who are not even citizens of this country. I know Piyaki says, well, you know, the states have the right to do that. Well, not necessarily, because I don't agree with that, simply because of the fact that these people came into the country illegally. They crossed that border illegally. They broke a law. And so I'm just curious as to your thoughts on this idea
okay.
of early voting.
What you're saying is generally true, except in Tennessee, early voting does not equate to absentee voting. If you're ill, sick, out of the country, or you can't show up, what happens is you have to present an excuse, a valid excuse as to why not. You get an absentee ballot, you can do that. But early voting is different. You have to show your ID. You have to... Well, this is the way they do it. On voting day, there are a whole bunch of precincts opened up, and it's on one day. For the 2 weeks, 3 weeks generally for early voting, what happens is there are select precincts, very large ones, opened up around the area, either the county or the city, and you can stop in Monday through Saturday. On the way to the grocery store or home for work or on your lunch hour, and it doesn't have to be your polling place, but you go in, show your ID, photo ID, and you are allowed to vote for the slate of candidates that you can vote for. So we've had this for 25 or so years. We've never had any problems with it. Per se, when it comes around to just the early voting. But there are other problems because we had some corrupted hack machines for 20 some of those 25 years. So that is what it is. I always early vote because it's like, there are only 5 cars in the parking lot. Let me duck in there and vote. And you go in there and you vote 3 to 4 minutes, you're out of there. And people like that. It's like right now I'm going to be passing an early voting poll. I'm not going to stop right now. But, and this is for a county election, I'm passing by it. And some other municipalities are having an election too. So I see 3 cars in the parking lot. So it's a good place for people to come in and vote. And it turns out it ramps up the vote count. But you see, in Tennessee, you register to vote where you get your driver's license or your state identification if you can't get a driver's license, and also where you get your gun permit from the same location. So it is there.
So do you think that the states should mandate that when you go get your driver's license that that they automatically register you to vote?
No, they don't automatically register.
Well, some states, I think it was New York. I think it was
New
York that just passed a law like that.
Well, see, New York and California are responsible for this mess where you're going to have to shortly get a new driver's license with a star in it if you want to get on an airplane, because they decided they were going to let anybody, illegal or otherwise, get a driver's license. They say it promotes safety. I say that's crap. It's just trying to make areas sanctuaries instead of having people follow the law. You disrespect, flagrantly disrespect the law anywhere, that builds up respect across, disrespect across the board. It's like I'm out here campaigning and I'm running into these youth and they say, hey, wow, we got to follow the law, and the people that are running this town stealing worse than we are. It's a point. Well, so if you got the president saying violate American law, what kind of respect does that, disrespect does that create for everybody else when it comes to following the law?
See, exactly.
It's a slippery slope. It's a rabbit hole. Now,
one more thing.
You're talking about with these other places where this thing about, at some point, you need to add a degree of difficulty to the voting process. So you get people who are committed, as Bianchi pointed out, to finding out what the devil is going on so they can vote knowledgeably and well, and in a well-informed fashion, rather than getting people who responded to that nonsense in 2020, take your booties to the poll, and you're supposed to respond to some half-naked trannies and a few strippers on a strip pole and go vote. What for? There, buddy.
My Lord.
You know, is that what you're voting for? So,
well, one more thing, Judge, because I know there's probably
some people
that want
to. I got another special announcement, brother, from Valerie, man. She say we're in overtime, man. So go ahead on, man.
All righty. Thank you very much, my brother. All right. Thank you very much. Judge, one more thing. You know, we hear the black folk, you know, that are the media pundits talking about how in some of these states they shut down precincts in various areas where it's a large melanated population. And the question I have for you is that as we see this happening, I think that a lot of it is simply because a lot of black folks in this country are just giving up. And they, you know, like in, here in Cleveland, you know, I think one of the mayoral elections, I think it was the last one or the one before, they only had like 25% to 30% voter turnout, which means that it's probably the reason why, because people are not going out to vote in these elections. But what's worse, that or the mere fact that they're allowing so many people into this country and are going to allow them to vote in these elections? Doesn't that undermine the black vote?
Let me give you a little secret. The secret is they don't want the illegals to vote. What they want is what's said in Article 1 to the Constitution. Every 10 years, a census. Yeah, they want more representatives in Congress that will represent the liberal interest of the state.
But that still hurts us as a people, though.
Yeah, I know. Of course it does. That's the point. In other words, it's like women census in determining a state's representatives in the Congress, both the Senate and the House, the women couldn't vote. But their numbers determined the representation as well as the numbers of men. So what's going on here is you want illegals in there to ramp up the number of representatives in the House without those people being able to vote. So the same people that are voting now will continue to vote and control things, but their ranks will be swelled in terms of the number of congressmen they get to vote for based on the census. That's what's the problem.
Well, you know, another thing, too, Victor, illegals shouldn't be voting on a federal ballot. That's why federal candidates should be on a separate ballot from that of state and local, because state and local can do what they want to. I mean, that's just
I agree.
A couple,
And another thing, too, that means they're also going to have more electors when it comes to presidential elections. The more representatives you got, the more electors you get to elect the president.
Now, what states should do is...
That's one of the problems, too.
Another thing, too, James. Hey, now, speaking of illegal immigration, Judge, I was watching TV the other day, and I saw United States Border Patrol agents cutting concertina wire that had been installed by the state of Texas, illegal aliens from coming into the country. Now, Governor Abbott is apparently invoking his Article 1, Article 1 powers, Section 3, 10th section, against imminent invasion. Now, is there anything the state can do to force the issue with regard to these Border Patrol agents interfering with a governor who is invoking his constitutional authorities to stop an invasion of the country by illegal aliens? What can be done when this conflicts with activities of the federal government?
Happens all the time. The attorney general for the state in question goes to federal court to litigate the issue. You might have 7, 11, 28. The majority of the attorney generals for the United States involved in a lawsuit. Somebody's got all kinds of background noise going on there.
Yeah, I think it's somebody's microphone. Microphone's giving us feedback.
Do you think the electronic...
Bailiff, you're not on your job, Bailiff.
And y'all pretty good with the questions, so let the judge answer. Hey, Judge, I got a question. Do you think it's time for the Electoral College to be abolished and let's go back one man, one vote?
No. Oh, hell no. You're not supposed to have one man, one vote. See, the idea is Electoral College is supposed to have an expertise in the qualifications, character, and histories of the candidates running for president. So what you're voting for is the Electoral College to make the selection. Now, people get it wrong. The U.S. government is not modeled on a corporation. Corporations are modeled on the U.S. government. And one of those things is, correspondingly, the Board of Electors or the Electoral College is where they got the Board of Directors for corporations from. In other words, as a stockholder, you vote for the members of the Board of Directors, and the Board of Directors choose the Chief Executive Officer or the corporation. See how that works? And that's what we have. The other thing is, too, when you deal with what the electors stand for, if we did not have them, we would have, if you had just by the majority, then California and New York and Illinois would control the entirety of the United States. And that might piss a lot of people off because, quite frankly, I don't want California to have a damn thing to do with what's going on that infects me someplace else.
Bingo.
So that, by the way, is one of the reasons that we had the Civil War.
Ain't that the influence anyway?
Judge, finish your statement.
No, that's not what happens. That's not what happens. When you have the Electoral College, the way it works out mathematically is just like it does when you talk about the Senate. Every state, no matter how big, has just two senators. Every state, no matter how small, has just two senators. Every state has at least two members of the House. And depending upon their size, maybe a lot more. Now, that's one of the reasons why they're trying to get D.C. made a state so that a town of 350,000 be two senators like it is the state of California or New York. And two congressmen, like it is the state of Maine or Delaware. And what that means is the all rainbow constituency just about of Washington, D.C., would have as much influence, just the 200,000 of them, as an entire state would be, which would shift the balance in the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate to being far left rather than more moderate, as it sometimes is. See, you have to deal with the mathematical consequences of certain rules. And the Electoral College is to even things up so no one state, no one interest gets overwhelmed by others. And everybody's got some say-so in the process. So if you do not get, it's best that you would have if everything was determined by Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, New Jersey, Houston, Miami, Detroit, Dallas, and all of the major capitals of the biggest cities, I mean of the biggest states. See, we don't want that because there are people in Montana, Wyoming, you know, Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee that may not like that, and they get pissed off. You don't want to have another civil war.
See, George, what you was praying to man for like you did the other night, see, it's going to backfire on Abbott and DeSantis, sending all the illegals to any place. That's going, they're going to be counted, and they're going to get more representation, like you said last night. They're going to get more seats, Judge.
No. There's another purpose for that. There's another purpose for that. It's playing chess. In other words, if you send them all there and they get it crammed down their throat and have to deal with it, you get the strongest area of support for the concept becoming one of its strongest opponents because they have to suffer the consequences. It's a brilliant move. Did you ever see Brewster's Millions? Richard Pryor played in that. He had a rich uncle that left him an absolute fortune, but he had to spend a certain amount of it up front to get it out of his system. In his will of how he wanted to smoke, and his daddy locked him in a closet and wouldn't let him out until he smoked two packs of cigarettes, and he never wanted to smoke again. The same kind of thing. In other words, you wanted this. You wanted to be a sanctuary city. Now, smoke up all of these people that just came in here and see if you like it. And they don't. They're beginning
poetic
to see
justice.
What it is. And they not only poetic justice, it becomes a laboratory where people can see what it looks like. In other words, oh, wow, look at this mess. They can't afford this. What's going on? They have homeless people who are getting displaced by these illegal immigrants. Okay, we want to be nice, but can you do that? You know, it's not a matter anymore. We've got enough to go around to everybody. We need to be fair. And we need to be considerate, and we need to love everyone. Well, yeah, okay, fine. What's this going to bring the world?
Peace.
You know what it's like? You know what it's like? You know what it's like?
Hold on.
You know what it's like? Let me give this example. You know what it's like? Somebody said, you know, I knew a cat lover one time, and she wanted to take in cats. So she got 56 cats in her apartment. And there was no room for her to be up in there between the cats and the fleas. I'm not saying the fleas, but I mean we have illegals. They're criminals. They've broken the law.
So we want
to give them amnesty for breaking the law? Uh-uh. That doesn't work that way. And then the other thing, I remember not that long ago I was coming through customs in Miami Airport. And when you go through there, some of the former Cuban types, they have a weird sense of humor, and I'm being nice about this, and they don't mess with you. So if you go through Miami Airport, always ask at least three official-looking people the same question, if you get the same answer. Most of the time, you won't. And some of the time, it's just malicious. Like my ex-wife and I, we were still married at the time, coming through customs. So when you go through customs in Miami, you get to a desk, and to the left of the desk as you face it is a staircase that goes up to a door in the wall. And if you go through that door in the wall, you escape customs, and you wind up coming out someplace you're not supposed to be. So when my wife and I got up there, we've been through many times, and when they said, go up there, I said, uh-uh. And they wanted to tell me I had to. I said, I'm not bringing the supervisor over here. And just gave me the, you know, well, go head on. And then this young white couple went up there. And we were telling them, don't do it. They did anyway. As soon as they went through, the alarm went off. Ice was up there. They snatched them, threw them down on the ground, put rammed the guy's face into the wall, put an elbow in the back of his neck. They had the woman pinned down. She had on a thun sundress and a little horn thong on her. You can see her bare butt. Flipped it all up in the air, embarrassed the hell out of her. And finally, other people said it was them told her to go up there. Supervisor wrote them up and they'd done it before. So if you can enforce this against ordinary American citizens, then you damn sure can enforce it against people who are not. And who knows what criminals, what ill people, what terrorists are coming across that border. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm sure Al-Qaeda and ISIS and the People's Republic of China with the contract spies are just in an orgasm thinking about it.
I think that's the whole point. I think that's the whole reason. How y'all doing? This is Frank. I think that's the whole reason why they're doing this. And Victor said, it is going to undermine us, and it's going to displace us too. Because, for example, I know, Jez, I know you're familiar with Los Angeles. That's what's happening right now in L.A. You see what I'm saying? I'm 20 minutes away. I'm in Orange County. So I see it. I see it out here in Orange County, and I see it when I go to L.A. You know, it's just a total displacement. And these people, just like in Hyde Park, Chicago, they're putting these people in our areas. They're not putting these people in Little Village, which is a Hispanic or Puerto Rican slash Mexican area. They're putting them in our area, like Hyde Park, just like out here in Watson and Compton. You know, they know what they're doing. It's a strategy, man, because, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans are both involved in this, because if y'all are familiar with the 86 Amnesty Act that Reagan wrote and put into play, he was also bringing people over, too, in 86. So, you know, NAFTA, 94, with Bill Clinton, even though that was more outsourcing. But still, you know, these people, this is all by design. You see what I'm saying? It's all, like, it's not just a Republican, it's not just a Democrat game. This is both parties are at play, both parties are participating in this.
Right on, man. You smart young man, bro.
Oh, yeah, man. I'll try, man. But, yeah, and, you know, but I'm witnessing it, you know. And I think Shaq had a question. I think Shaq's on there.
Yeah, peace and blessings to all the ladies and gentlemen. How you doing today? Hey, Jez, I got to ask a question. The 1964 Civil Rights Act, what is the expiration date on that act, if you have any information on that?
There is none. There is none.
Okay.
They've just broadened it, is what they've done.
Yeah, it's the law until they supersede it by some other statute. And it is one of those that's mentioned in Article 6 as part of the supreme law of the land. It is an act of Congress that is designed to effectuate or carry out the intent of the Constitution. It's not one of those.
Judge, your volume is getting lower and lower. And Shaq, can you also tell us what that is? So don't assume everybody knows, but can you tell us what that is, the question you asked Judge? But Judge, I can't hardly hear you. Your volume's really low.
Okay, well, I don't know what the devil. I haven't touched it. I have on microphone and earpiece. Well, earmuffs, whatever they call them.
You want me to finish or?
About the 1964 Act, Civil Rights Act. What it is it's part of Article 6 to the Constitution that says there are three things that are part of the supreme law of the land. The Constitution, those congressional acts that carry out the Constitution, and that's one of those, and ratified treaties. That's number three. So this is one of the number twos. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 carries out the Constitution when it comes to equal protection, the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments. That's where we are with that. So that stays in place. That's like the Confidence in Elections Act of 1877. Still in place. And by the way, that was the next item up for January 6th when Pelosi tabled it. And that says that the vice president, when there is a lack of confidence displayed in the outcome of election, he shall decline to authenticate the results of the Electoral College vote and cause to be assembled a 15-man committee from the House, Senate, and Supreme Court to conduct an independent audit taking at least 10 days or as long thereafter as necessary to determine the actual outcome of the election. Now, that's what was next up. See, they stay on the books until they're overruled, well, not overruled, but they're superseded by another statute.
Well, what I heard is
go ahead,
1960. Okay. You got it?
Go ahead, Shaq.
You want the mic?
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
But yeah, I was just reading. It said the 1964 Act was a law signed by President Lyndon Johnson on July 2nd, 1964. It prohibits discrimination in public places, provided for the integration of schools and other public facilities and something about employment and made for employment or something like that. But I was in an understanding, I was talking to somebody else and they were saying something about that. That act is supposed to be reenacted or every 25 years. So that's why I was asking that question that, you know, every 25 years it has to be renewed.
That's where some people out of ignorance was saying that blacks in America, Congress votes every 20 years to see if they can continue voting.
Yeah.
And that was
correct. But that's correct. That's correct.
That's not correct. You cannot do that. They do not have that.
Well, they did it because we weren't black
They did not do that. The Constitution.
Look, where on the census were we black, though, brother? Come on, man. Let's be real.
Wait, there's no mention of black anywhere in the Constitution. Not one time.
Okay, that's why they had to. So why do we call them black then? Why do we call black African-American then?
Look.
Y'all don't never want to answer that question. It's a very logical question to answer. It is a question.
Hey, Shaq, I suggest that you answer that question. This is L.A. I've been trying to get in for a minute. How are you doing, Judge? I'm still praying for you in this. Yeah, I'm praying for you in the mayoral race. I'm doing well up here in Cleveland, Ohio. But when you were talking about that $27,000 a year, that's just for one person here in Ohio, and that's under the poverty level. So, you know, I feel like if you got
we're not going to be able to hear. What is that noise?
Probably Shaq. You got Shaq having a meltdown. It's probably him meltdown.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, let me say this.
I've been very cool. If you want that heat, brother, I'll give you that heat to your ass, man.
Hold
on. Hold
on. You're not giving anybody.
I've been pretty cool today.
Hey, listen. Shaq, you're not giving anybody any heat. That's not the law. That is an urban myth that is very far from what the law is. I don't care where you heard it.
Okay, what's the law then? Because black is not in law, right? Negro and Indian is in law, right?
Let us tell you.
It's Indian and Negro in law then. Tell them what the law is then, Judge.
Be quiet or he going to tell you.
Black ain't in the law then.
No, it's not. It's totally.
What's lawful? Indian or Negro? Or black? Which one?
Neither.
Man, I've been waiting, man. Y'all been talking and blabbing all goddamn day, man. Damn.
Excuse me.
When I get a chance to talk, everybody else want to get in on my shit, yo.
Your question. Now, I answered your question. There is no mention of
okay. Is Indian is Indian legal in law? Is Indian lawful or not?
The question.
That's not
I'm asking
the question.
Is Indian lawful or not? I'm just
what
asking you
about?
Is Indian lawful or not?
Treaties.
Is Indian a lawful term?
Are you going
to order
you
got to let him answer the question, sir. But also,
somebody's
microphone.
Well,
you keep trying to answer, but somebody is somebody's microphone.
Somebody got echo, and I can't hear, man.
Mute them all, man.
That's what I'm saying. Can everybody just mute, please?
No, you
can everybody just mute?
I've been muted.
I can't figure out where it's coming from.
Been muted.
It stopped. It stopped. Now, answer to the question.
Now,
check, that's not the law. I don't care what you heard, that's not the law.
See, that's the shade tree.
Now,
judge out of the tree.
For a long time, I was charged with interpreting the law officially, and what I said could get you locked up or out of jail. And if you didn't agree with what I had to say, it went up to the ultimately the Supreme Court of the state. Never got overruled on a ruling of constitutional law. Now, that's elected to 2 8-year terms. So that's just what the law is. And by the way, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was a brilliant stroke by President Lyndon Baines Johnson. He knew a Civil Rights Act would not pass, so he introduced it as a military bill. It says, whereas the U.S. has been engaged in a life or death struggle against the forces of totalitarianism and communism, whereas the troops are the frontline defense of the country, whereas the morale of those troops is paramount, whereas those troops have long been integrated, et cetera, and whereas base commanders cannot ensure that all troops will be treated according to their citizenship status, be it resolved that this civil rights bill is necessary for the defense of the United States of America. So he famously went around leaning on his Southern colleagues and said, last year I told you you could vote against the Negroes. This year you're going to vote for them, or I'll make you look like a comet-loving bastard to every one of your constituents. So they all
went along with
the Civil Rights Act. Now, go ahead.
Okay. Is black or African-American in the Constitution?
No, it's not.
All right.
It doesn't mention any race in the Constitution. It's completely neutral. The ones that some people say the Constitution said black folk were 3/5 of a person, that's not anywhere in the Constitution. What it says in Article 1 of the Constitution, for purposes of apportioning representation in the House of Representatives, 3/5 of all persons in involuntary servitude or slavery shall be counted toward that number. That's what it says. And it doesn't mention any race. This is an important thing. As a matter of fact, one of the people referred to in that paragraph was an individual named Samuel Hinckley, late of Cape Cod. Samuel Hinckley has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 descendants who've been president of the United States of America, one who's been a vice president of the United States of America, several billionaires, including Warren Buffett, Barack Obama, George Herbert Walker Bush, George Walker Bush, and Dick Cheney are all his lineal descendants. So it does not mention race. The 14th Amendment mentions condition of slavery, but it does not mention race. You see, 13th Amendment does not. 15th Amendment does not. So the Constitution is neutral when it comes to any designated race. The closest counterpart to it would be the rule book for the National Bar Association, National Basketball Association, NBA. At one point, the NBA was one of the most racist institutions in the United States of America until the Lakers in 1946 hired Don Barksdale out of UCLA, who incidentally wasn't a basketball player. He ran track and played football. But until then, there were no blacks in that institution. And now when you think of basketball, you think of somebody black. But you see, the rule book hasn't changed, just like the Constitution generally hasn't changed, except in both instances, the NBA rule book and the Constitution of the United States, which is the rule book for the country, do not allow discrimination based on race, color, creed, or religion, rather, national origin, sex, age, or medical condition. Now,
hey, let's catch up.
That's where we are right now.
Hey, hey, Judge.
I got one more question, Judge. One more
question. Check. Let me free time real quick, man. Hey, Judge, man. I got cussed out by these Shade Creek lawyer, man, by this O.J. Simpson. I laid out all your preponderance of evidence, man. These Negroes will cuss you out to kill you, man. The media got O.J. hemmed up, man. You've been there. You got the evidence, man. I got cussed out the other night.
I've seen the evidence. I got a tour through the evidence room by the chief administrative law judge for L.A. Superior Court, whom I recruited personally to law school. Now, they didn't have anything on O.J., not even really any strong circumstantial evidence. The reason that America thinks that O.J. killed Nicole and Rod Simpson is because of that sleaze Nancy Grace, who was the primary reporter for most of the stations, who said she was there every day to cover it. She wasn't, and most of the people who were involved in the court process said she'd show up every night and ask what went on. So, brother, who was called as an expert in knife killing, I know the guy that made the gloves, the guy that bends the shoes that were involved, and they had bloody footprints for a size 9 shoe and a 10.5. O.J. wore a 12. The glove that did not fit, the gentleman that made the glove told me, and I heard the same thing from the judge, that O.J. had a size 2XL in that glove. And the glove was an L, two sizes too small. And the person that had a size L was Furman. And Furman is seen planting the bloody socks and the glove, which Nancy Grace neglected to mention, in the security video when they were doing the crime scene, or before they did the crime scene, at OJ's house. So you can see the fix go in. There are four cops or detectives that were involved in the O.J. investigation who did jail time in California for fixing cases. And in what's called the Rampart scandal, they had to let 128 men and women out of the California state penitentiary because they had been framed. Now, that is a reality.
He cut his hand on the glass, man. They trying to say that
he didn't cut his hand. He didn't cut his hand on a glass. He cut his hand on a glass in a Chicago hotel, and there was testimony from one of the bus boys who was a witness who saw him do that when he crunched the glass in his bare hand. When he heard that Nicole had been killed. Also, there was the co-pilot of the airplane and the passenger who sat next to him on the airplane who testified that during the course of the flight, when he was playing blackjack, with the guy sitting next to him, and when the co-pilot had him sign the flight log, he had no cuts on his hand. So all that's crap. You can tell them they don't know what they're talking about. And if they're sucker enough to believe what they get in the mainstream press, then more fool to them.
That's right. Because the press can make a huge
man. Hey, I got one more question if nobody else ain't got one.
Go ahead, Jack.
All right. Hey, Judge, what is your interpretation of the undrip and the A-drip?
The what? I didn't hear
the undrip and the A-drip. I said, what's your interpretation of the undrip and
Jack,
the
you got to tell us what that is when you introduce
yeah,
the
what
question.
In the world
you
is that?
I assume everybody know what, what
yeah,
those things that you're introducing is.
Okay. Well, the undrip and A-drip, the undrip was, it was a declaration by the UN. They declared declaration on the rights of indigenous people provides a framework for recognition, healing, and peace, as well as harmonious and cooperative relations based on the human rights, based on your human rights. So it was something that the UN, I think it actually was during Obama's administration that this was declared by the United Nations. But indigenous people, for recognition of the indigenous people.
And?
No, I said, what, do you have any interpretation? Do you got a dispute on that?
I mean, what's your question?
Well, my question is, a lot of people don't know nothing about it. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to get ask some lawyers, people that's more versed in law, to see what's their interpretation on it. Now, some people say there's no such thing as indigenous.
Look. What difference does it make? It's not part of American law. In the United States,
no, it is. I just told you the UN. It did declare.
It's United Nations.
That's
not part of American law. That's a UN
it
resolution.
Law. That's what I'm asking. You don't even know anything about it. Damn.
Oh, man.
That's not.
Get up to speed, man. Y'all behind. I need to get up to speed, dog.
Listen. Shaq. Nothing, as long as the Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans, the United States,
mm-hmm.
England, France,
mm-hmm.
Germany say something, okay, fine. If the U.S. doesn't agree to it, it doesn't have any effect at all because it's not American.
The U.S. has agreed to it. That's what I'm saying. Why y'all don't talk about it?
Well, when was it ratified?
It's a hidden thing.
When was it ratified? If the Senate didn't ratify it, it ain't law. I don't care what Obama said.
People are getting it. Sorry. Go look it up. Did you look it up?
When did the Senate ratify it?
Look, Shaq, there is a general treaty that the United States entered into to belong to NATO. I mean, to the United Nations, all right?
Okay.
But when it comes to specific...
The United States or the United States of America? Which one?
Same thing.
Come on.
Don't laugh because what government was before 1974?
I'm laughing. You know what you're doing, Jack? You're discussing the intricacies of the equivalent of heart surgery with a heart surgeon, and you're talking about what you heard in a bar.
Yeah.
And the surgeon is trying to tell you how.
But y'all didn't hear nothing about it, so it's
not
funny. Y'all didn't hear nothing about it, and this is the first time y'all heard about it. But a lot of people using it to claim the indigenous heritage in America, so I don't know why y'all don't talk about
this. Y'all
talk about immigrants, y'all talk about migrants, but y'all don't talk about people being indigenous to America. Why is that not?
Look,
because it's very, and I'm going to tell you why it's messed up, because the same shit happened up there in Oklahoma when the lady was trying to claim that the stuff that happened in the Oklahoma race riot, she got denied because of what? Because of the language that sorry-ass lawyer wrote up the wrong paperwork and filed the wrong language in that paper, in the document for the lawsuit. 79 years old, got threw out. That woman is indigenous to America. She's indigenous to Oklahoma, and she got herself thrown out because of technicalities of these sorry ass lawyers.
Oh, God.
Look, the language that they put in the paperwork.
What about the United States?
What about the fact? It is. That's what I'm telling. They know this shit, Frank. That's why they play games with us, dog. They keep us left in the black in the closet, yo.
Shaq.
Good Lord, Shaq.
What about the fact lying to us? What about the fact that they're lying to us about Vietnam and China because the world is flat? And if you went that far east, everybody would fall off. What about that?
Okay, what was the name of the American government before 1976?
The what?
What was the name of the government that was being used before 1976, before the independence?
What are you talking about? 1776.
You want to know what says in the preamble to the United States? And in the preamble to the United States Constitution, it says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." That's what it says in the Constitution and the preamble.
Okay,
Todd. That's before 1776?
1787? That's what the Constitution was ratified. 1787.
Listen to what I'm saying. What was the government before 1776?
We are operating under the United States Constitution. That's what we're operating under. The one that was ratified in 1789. That one.
Now look,
we're not under the Articles of Confederation anymore.
We were part of the British Empire under the King of England and Parliament. We were a colony. Prior to 1776,
Declaration of Independence, you be forgetting we're live on air. You be having us looking crazy, like
please teach civics in school again. Please, I beg of you, civics. Can we please stop?
I had a question I want to ask the judge. Let's talk about something else.
We'll do that. Civics, please.
Y'all got caught slipping. Y'all better get up on the game. Judge, wait, Victor, before you switch gears.
Judge, can you please bring it back full circle? Wait, Judge, before we switch gears, why do you want to talk about indigenous people of America? We had that conversation. Why do you want to talk about who indigenous people? Maybe we need to have a whole show, and also you won't let him answer. You keep cutting him off. It sounds like chaos.
He didn't know.
BJ didn't know. Judge, please read the Constitution.
Check the question you're asking.
I just asked y'all, what was the government before 1776, though?
The question.
You went to 1787, 1889.
The questions you've been asking are equivalent to what happens after you fall off the edge of the world when you go too far. Now, what kind of government?
What was the government? I'm asking one more time for the slow people in the back. What government was used for 1976?
Hey,
y'all don't know. Right, come y'all on, come up with the Constitution in 1789.
Look. You're being stupid now. I'm going to get on your ass if you don't.
Okay. Who was the president before George Washington? What was the first president before George Washington?
Prior to 1776, the 13 colonies were colonies of the British Empire. King George III was king. He had a parliament. That's the government we were under. We were part of Great Britain. Now, we declared a revolution by our Declaration of Independence. We celebrate that on the 4th of July, but it should be the 2nd of July. Now, when we won the Revolutionary War, we had the Articles of Confederation that resulted in a short-term government that was not good, that was superseded by the ratification of the Constitution of 1789. 1791, the Bill of Rights, that is the first 10 amendments, were ratified. Now, your question was asked in a very clumsy, ignorant fashion, so stop being loudly ignorant, son, and go read up. This is what you're supposed to know in the goddamn fifth grade.
But you can say one of those things is no indigenous when we know that's a lie.
That's not what he said.
I'm not even talking to you, dog.
Can I finish?
Oh, Lord, you didn't say that.
I'm one of those indigents. I've been registered as a Choctaw. I qualify. My grandmother was a Choctaw. So anyway,
my great grandma was a Cherokee.
Something. Something.
My great grandma was a Cherokee.
Come on, this is stuck on stupid.
This is hilarious. Oh my God.
Valor, you should just mute everybody because there's a bad echo.
The Cherokee kicked out in the 1980s.
Somebody
didn't steal them. They kicked them out in 1980.
Who were all in 1980s?
Can I? Wait, where's the echo coming from, guys? Because I stepped outside. Can everybody just mute, please? Okay, Judge, we only got 10, 15 minutes. Can you just wrap this thing up? Can you give us your final thought, and we'll talk about something else? But there is an echo somewhere.
There's a thing called common sense that requires that we do our diligent research and we rely upon real information rather than on what we heard. All right? There are a whole lot of ignorant fools running around speaking with authority that you look as ignorant as if you quote them. Now, let's get back to being real, all right? So I got to check out and go to a political event. So high bow and God
bless you.
Don't run. What you running for? I'm the one to grab.
Don't run.
I got a political
event. Don't run. Come on, Jeff. We having fun, bro.
Shaq,
don't run.
It ain't fun. People die because
the problem, I think, that you failed to recognize is when you're trying
to
have
me?
Fun,
hold on, brother. Why you always address me? Everybody else come over and ask questions.
You don't ever address me, but you always address me, dog.
What's up?
No, I didn't.
I wait and let everybody get their stuff off, and every time I speak, somebody cut me off. Somebody coming in and cutting in every time. I wait. I let everybody get their stuff off.
Shaq, I don't think that's Shaq. I'm not singling you out. What you do is what you and I
do.
Well,
you do it every
phone.
Time, though. You,
you
think
don't
me out
let
every
nobody
time. Everybody else
their...
is blabbering, asking questions.
You'll ask a question. Shaq,
every time I'm the only one that you.
Then you won't
the
let
side.
Him answer.
Like I'm
then,
a bad student in the
then
classroom.
Then you don't accept the answer. No,
that's
you
about the size of it.
I'll just
that's about the size
I'm
of
a bad
it.
Student,
yeah.
I wanted to ask the judge.
Yo, calm down. I can ask a question.
Thank you so much, Shaq. The judge tried to lay it out for you, Shaq. The United States, the colonies, not the 13th North American colonies, were once provinces of Great Britain in North America. The citizens of them were subjects of Great Britain. The United States declared its independence on July 2nd or July 4th, depending on what date you want to choose, from Great Britain. There was a Continental Congress that was convened that governed those colonies, more or less formally, informally, until the Articles of Confederation were adopted, which were found to be wanting and inadequate. So they were rejected. They were repealed, and then the Constitution was ratified in 1789. That is the government the United States government has been operating under since 1989. It didn't exist before 1787. You understand? We had a different form of government before 1789. There was a different government.
I think the question he was asking, though.
Somebody else wants to come in. Somebody's saying hello. Whoever that is saying hello. Come on in,
please.
Look. Let me ask you a question, because I wanted to ask you a question for Frank, because I had sent it to him, and I had put it actually in Frank, this is a question for California, because y'all mentioned California a lot earlier today. And I just wanted to ask Frank, because since the judge is gone, what do you think about them raising the minimum wage for fast food workers at $20 an hour in California? That's all I want to ask.
That's a perfect question. Okay. This is a dog whistle, right? This is a dog whistle right here. So basically, a lot of people doing fast food or conceive or perceive as doing fast food out here, work out here, are either migrants or Hispanic. So basically, this is basically a dog whistle to give a lot of Hispanics more wages. You see what I'm saying? Because the union, I know that the union, that the funny thing about it, one of the unions that was involved with it, and this was Local 11, 681, that was a union I used to be with when I was at the food service. So I already know how the game is played. That's basically dog whistling to the Mexicans and Hispanics and the migrants out here. You know what I'm saying? But see, my thing is, you're supposed to do a living wage. See, this is the thing. That's why I don't vote, right? Because you're supposed to give a living wage. Everything else is going up and the inflation is going up.
Wait a minute. I disagree with you on that, Frank. I disagree with you on that to this extent, because there's a reason why people go to trade schools. There's a reason why people go to college, and that is to enhance their skills, their knowledge, and their ability to do whatever job that they're applying for. I'm sorry, but I don't think it's the employer's responsibility to provide a living wage, because you don't have to accept any wage through the interviewing any job through the interviewing process if you don't want the job, because it doesn't pay enough. It doesn't give you the benefits that you want.
Let me respond to that when you're done.
Okay. So at the end of the day, this is almost the equivalent of saying that a second team player should make the same amount of money as a Kevin Durant, because they don't have the same skill set. These jobs, like Burger King, McDonald's, and all of these jobs, these are what they call entry level jobs. And what these people literally are doing is causing the price of the foods in the restaurant to go up. And it's eventually going to shut down these places, because the employers are just not going to pay that kind of money. Not to say that people who are working in those places don't deserve to get paid decently, but at the end of the day, if I want a living wage, and I know what, then I need to find out what it is that I need to do in order to get to that point. So that's where I disagree with that.
right. Okay. First of all, I just said the same thing you said. So I don't know why you disagree with me. And for two, I just basically said that that's not fair for them to be naked $20 an hour. I just said that. That's a dog whistle to the Hispanic. I just said migrants.
Right. You did say that.
Let me bring this up. This is where I look at it. It ain't even a disagreement or agreement here. It's more like with this part. You're telling me that, you know, because McDonald's, Burger King used to be what for, like, you know, the young child gets a learner's permit, driver's license, and wants to make a couple bucks, you know, and stuff. So what you're telling me that young boys and women that were working are not going to be working because you're going to give Hispanics $20 an hour. But really, to tell you the truth, these businesses like McDonald's and them are not shutting down. The real reason why they're doing that is to what? Cause inflation. But then they'll say, oh, well, you know, we got inflation. Let's just get one cashier and then kiosks. And then they'll say, hey, you know what? We can't afford to pay anybody. Let's just make it all kiosks. So what I'm saying, this is a big AI thing going on.
Exactly.
And the last thing I wanted to say, because Valerie's on the phone, I do realize I just want to say this now that I'm out because I got to run. They had Kamala Harris, Seth Joe, and Anthony Ramos at Florida International University. I didn't even notice myself. Florida International University is the largest part of Hispanics in the state of Florida going to college. They got 32,000 Hispanics that go to that college out of 56,000 students. So that's all I want to say.
Hey, Victor, correction. Are you familiar with the Organization of American States?
The organization of what?
It's Latin America.
The organization of
what you said,
it's Latin America.
That's Latin America.
No.
United.
Are you
familiar
with the
America,
Organization
man.
Of American States?
Oh, God.
Look here. They ratified. Look here. Okay. June 2016 was ratified. It was ratified, and it was U.S. supported the Declaration for American Indigenous People, and it was ratified by the Organization of American States. Guys, information. So,
did the United States Senate ratify it? I got to keep asking you that question because it only matters if the United States Senate did.
Listen to what I'm saying, Sarge, before you respond. The United States supported that declaration for American indigenous people, brother.
Okay,
damn,
Mo, listen to me, Shaq.
They supported
listen
that
Shaq,
declaration.
This makes
yo.
All the difference, Shaq. Listen, if the State Department and the State Department and the President support a foreign policy initiative that would involve making a treaty.
Wait a minute.
The Senate
doesn't,
then it's not
American
law.
State, what the hell is wrong with you?
I'm asking you a question. Let me ask you the question again. Did the United States Senate ratify this specific treaty? Did they or did they not?
The United States, ain't that what we live in? Ratified.
They're not answering my question. You're not answering it.
The United States ratified that.
Congress did not.
The United States ratified that in June 2016, dog. That's what I'm saying. They supported that. They support that.
No, look, wait a minute.
I don't know what.
President Obama ratified the Law of the Sea Treaty. He was the one who said he supported it. He was willing to sign it. The Senate never ratified it. But President Obama said, yes,
I
endorsed it.
I
signed it on behalf of the
United
States. But the Senate never ratified it. The same thing with the League of Nations. Woodrow Wilson signed the League of Nations for the United States, but the United States Senate never ratified the League of Nations treaty. Unless the Senate does it, it doesn't count.
Well, that's bullshit. The United
Man,
States.
Man, you better read the Constitution
the
in and quit yelling at me. Read the Constitution. The Declaration does not govern this. Read the Constitution. Article 4, Article 3, Article 1. Read it. It's only 45 pages.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm
saying. It's 45 pages, man. Read the Constitution.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. You just talked about the Declaration, right? Independence. Right? That was before they got their
Constitution.
Yes,
which is not constitutional law, by the way.
Another thing, Shaq, there's no such thing as
the Declaration is not part of constitutional law.
There's no such thing as indigenous people.
Indigenous people is. The Indian people is part of constitutional law. Indian people. Which would be indigenous people. Part of constitution.
No,
what does that got to do with the law?
You said what?
What does that got to do with the law? The fact, you stated a fact. There are indigenous people. Now, what does that have to do with the law?
Ask me quick.
You made
idiot.
A statement.
Indians
statement
the law.
Was,
that's the people, idiot.
Wait a minute. Your
you
statement
have
was there are indigenous people.
Listen
now, how
saying.
Does that apply
why you think they
to the law
15,
and the Constitution?
That went for us. That was part
how
of the corner.
How does that statement apply to the law and the Constitution?
It applies to the indigenous people, the Indians. Indians are and that's in law. That's in the Constitution, dude. Indian.
Man, how big
law.
Can you
be?
Negro,
not
how
you
big?
White people,
how
not
big are you going to be?
African
what
Americans
aspect
not
of the law?
You say Indian, not tax. That's law.
What aspect of the
Indian
law are
tax.
You
that's
referring
law.
To?
It don't matter.
Well,
it's law.
You can't, obviously, you cannot answer my question.
I just answered the question. Indian.